From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Stop. Thank you. We do have a great show for you today. We've got the band Tenacious D, also known as Kyle Gass, and Jack Black. They're joining us later to rock our world and yours. But first, it is the NATO summit this weekend in Chicago. It is crazy out there. There are helicopters, there are roadblocks, there are undercover Secret Service agents everywhere. You can tell by all the guys with shades and earpieces, and because all the prostitutes are demanding a credit card deposit. But we trust you guys. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, everyone. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
Hi, Peter. This is Tyler Clark from Youngstown, Ohio.
So Ohio, it seems to me, has become, for the general election, what, say, New Hampshire and Iowa are in the primaries. You can't throw a rock without hitting a politician, which must make it fun to throw rocks.
They love us here. They want us badly.
Have you ever been sucked up to personally?
No, I suppose not. Should I feel bad about that?
Yeah, you're probably the only one left in Ohio, but there's still time. There's still time. Well, welcome to the show, Tyler. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian performing May 23rd at Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles. It's Mr. Brian Babylon. Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Tyler.
Hi, Roxanne.
And finally, a politics blogger for Esquire and a contributor to Grantland.com, it's Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Tyler.
Hi, Charlie.
Ready to play our games, Tyler?
I am ready.
All right, we're going to start today with a new game. We're calling it
the Wait Wait Upfronts.
In New York right now, the TV networks are showing advertisers their new shows for the fall. Well, we got our hands on some of the proposals, and they all happen to be based on this week's news. Carl is going to describe for you three new TV shows. You tell us the story that inspired them. Ready to play?
That sounds hard, but I'll do my best.
You can do it. Here we go. Here is your first new TV show.
A jaded detective, a reckless banker who lost $3 billion. It's Law and Order, Idiot Rich Guy Unit.
That would be a new show inspired... Dunk-dunk, thank you. That would be a new show inspired by what bank's big loss?
That would be Jamie Dimon.
Yes, who is the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase. Very well done. This last week, Dimon, head of Chase, announced that the company had lost $2 billion. This week, they admitted, oh, it's actually more like $3 billion. But here's the tricky part. No one is exactly sure how or where they lost it. Guesses include a really, really, really committed attempt to get that stuffed Hello Kitty doll out of the claw machine. Or perhaps... just one more try. I know I've got it. Or perhaps Chase splurged on their Chicago area auditoriums, but we want to say though, if that's the case, to our friends at Chase, thanks though for the solid diamond toilets.
Well, they're a little sharp for my taste, Peter.
The guy had a nickname. Was he the ghost trader?
No, he was known as the London Whale. Okay. This is true that the trader who most people now believe caused or was behind these bad bets, as they say, is known as the London Whale in financial circles. That's because he's based out of J.P. Morgan's British office and because he is, in fact, an enormous humpback whale. It's expensive to provide him a tank with internet access, but at the same time, he has agreed to take his annual bonus in krill. Now, Mitt Romney was asked about this, and he said, this is actually...
He said, that's Saturday night. What are you talking about? It's boutonniere money, my friend.
Yeah. No, Mitt Romney said, he actually said this. He says that it's okay, because if a Chase lost $3 billion and somebody else
earn $3 billion. That's how capitalism works, so no worries, right? But still, nobody knows who's the counterparty, who got the money. So keep an eye out for your coworker showing up to work on Monday wearing a brand new island. Tyler, let us hear about another television show.
It's like Friends, except instead of six annoying white people, it's 700 million people, and Joey can spy on you.
So that would be a new show about a rich young man who's about to get even richer. Who is it?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, Mark Zuckerberg. Very well. The founder of Facebook. $1 billion isn't cool. You know what's cool? A mega gazillion dollars. That's about what the 28-year-old Zuckerberg is now worth after Facebook went public. The company's stock sold for $16 billion at its IPO.
But didn't GM just pull out all their ads of there because it says no one was clicking on GM ads?
Apparently, that was a problem. You know, Facebook supposedly is so valuable because all these advertisers will reach all these people. But GM said, you know, we haven't sold any cars. And apparently, I mean, it failed because, you know, they have this feature on Facebook where if you buy something, your friends find out about it, and people were tired of their friends getting messages like, Bob just bought a new Buick because he realizes it's time to stop trying.
Yeah.
Would you buy it? Would you buy
What?
Facebook
would you buy
stock?
Well, one share to hang on the wall. I mean, you wouldn't buy it to get rich.
I was told that sort of the average guy isn't even going to get a shot at it.
It's like an Alpios guy who scalps IPOs. Like, you know, you can hang out in front of the
place. The guy standing in front of the stock exchange going, got two shares, got two shares, got two shares.
You got it.
And there are, like IPO brokers where you can go and like put your credit card in and they'll sell you stock. Like StubHub.
Like a vending machine.
StockHub. StockHub.com.
I think that's actually called the
Stock exchange.
Yes. All right, what is the last show we've got for Tyler?
Get ready for America's next reality competition. Eight boring white guys face off in Who Wants to Stand Behind Mitt Romney and Clap?
So that would be a reality TV show based on Mitt Romney's ongoing secret search for what?
Vice President?
Yeah, running mate of vice presidential candidate. Very good, yes. Yeah. Politico quoted an anonymous GOP insider who said Mitt Romney is looking for a running mate that is, quote, an incredibly boring white guy. Now, there's a good reason for this. We all know what Mitt Romney is like. And he doesn't want anybody more interesting. I mean, you know what it's like when you've got like a hot date and you're supposed to bring a friend. Well, you don't want to bring somebody more interesting than you are, right? Romney doesn't want the American people to make small talk with his running mate all night, then jump in a cab with him at the end of the night and speed off. So we can look forward to the campaign slogan, Romney Portman 2012. Yeah, we'd never heard of him either.
Or Garrison Keillor.
Well, I'm about to say, I mean, when they said we're looking for boring white guys, everybody in public radio is like, my resume is ready. My time has arrived. Now it's time for our regular segment.
Hey, you can't do worse than McCain 2008.
Maybe he still should, you know, go for the ring, you know, somebody other than the obvious choices. So joining us now to help Mitt Romney find that more unusual running mate, once again, is Mark McKinnon. He worked in the campaigns of John McCain and George W. Bush. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
It's always great to check in with you on the ongoing vetting process. So, Mark, let's talk about the names in the news this week, how they might work as running mates for Mitt Romney. How about Mark Zuckerberg? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you take that $100 billion from the IPO, and that would pay for the annual budget of the three agencies of the federal government that Rick Perry wanted to get rid of but couldn't remember what they were, commerce, education, and energy.
He could just fund them. That'd be great.
He could fund them, absolutely. And think of the security costs we'd save. We could track members of terrorist organizations over Facebook.
That's true. All right, let's move on. How about the newly named NBA most valuable player, LeBron James? Romney James 2012.
Well, LeBron would be good news, bad news. The good news is he would bring you Florida and you win Florida. The bad news is he would lose you Ohio.
That's true.
And the really bad news is he would stop running at the beginning of November.
It's true.
Yeah.
Mark McKinnon is the Global Vice Chairman in Hill & Knowlton Strategies. Thank you for working us through these issues, Mark. Great to talk to you. Carl, how did Tyler do in our quiz?
Well, Tyler had a perfect game, Peter. 3 correct answers. So, Tyler, you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much, Tyler, for playing.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, some troubling news this week in health. A new study shows a high incidence of arthritis. Among whom?
Human?
No. Let me give you a hint. First, there was the rheumatosaurus.
Dinosaurs. Arthritis did in dinosaurs?
No, well, we don't know if it killed them, but apparently there's some evidence that they suffered from it.
It made them hard to get out of the way of the meteor.
It's true. my back. Last week on the show, we discussed the discovery that dinosaurs may have passed so much gas they might have heated the climate. This week, we now find out they have arthritis. Turns out dinosaurs were just giant grandpas. Like, oh, I've fallen and I can't get up. Dude, it's a tar pit. You're out of luck, man. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait.
Hi, this is Jeff Krimmel. I live in San Felipe, Mexico.
Oh, really?
And I had to probably move to Mexico just to get on your show.
Really? So what do you do in Mexico?
Well, I'm a retired teacher, special ed teacher, and I'm now an author who's been writing books, and I don't have a lot of distractions down here, so I have plenty of time to do it.
Really? What kind of books are you writing down there?
Fiction and nonfiction.
That about covers the waterfront right there.
It does.
Well, welcome to the show, Jeff. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Jeff's topic?
The results are inconclusive, Peter.
When you hear government probe, you probably think, you know, aliens at Roswell or who shot JFK. Boring stuff like that. Well, this week, we heard about a truly interesting government study. Each of our panelists are going to tell you about an inquiry carried out by our government. Only one of them, though, is real. Pick that real one. You will win Carl's voice on your voicemail. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's hear first from Charlie Pierce.
One of the great mysteries of rock and roll may soon be solved, thanks to the folklorists at the Smithsonian Institution. In 1961, Barry Mann and the Halos had a hit with Who Put the Bomb in the Bomb de Bomb? This was widely thought to have been a rhetorical question. But a recently discovered letter from the song's composer, Jerry Goffin, to his future wife, Carol King, indicates that Goffin found the basic lyric in a 1920 blues 78 called Bomb de Bomb Blues, on which the artist is listed as unknown. Smithsonian researcher Wendy Whitney found the letter and is now in Mississippi searching for the name of the unknown artist. Somewhere out there is the person who wrote Bomp de Bomp Blues, Whitney said, and that person is the answer to the question we've been waiting 50 years for. As to who put the ram in the ram-a-lam-a ding-dong, scholars remain divided.
The Smithsonian trying to find out. At long last, who put the bomb in the bomp de bomp bomp? Your next story of a probe of the non-alien variety comes from Brian Babylon.
Everybody knows that the military is having trouble finding recruits. Why? Because the young people of today are wasting their time sitting inside playing video games. But if you can't beat them, why not invite them to join you? In a new study, the U.S. Army formed a special commando unit of expert Call of Duty players. They're calling them FTBs, a military term for fat teenage boys. Said Captain Greta Fairbanks, they may not be able to do a single push-up, but boy, those FTBs can shoot. But it hasn't been a total success. First of all, they think if they die, they'll come back to life. But the bigger problem, Captain Fairbanks says, is war does not stop for Dorito breaks.
A study to see if video game players would be good at the actual thing. And lastly, let's hear a story of an inquiring government from Roxanne Roberts.
You know all those studies with strange and dubious conclusions? Wonder how much it costs for all that research? So did the feds, who commissioned, what else, a study to determine the price to produce all those studies. It all started in 2010 when then-Defense Secretary Bob Gates complained about the explosion in cost of Pentagon reports and studies. Then the GAO decided to study the Pentagon study of its studies. The first study, the study of the studies, not the study of the study of the studies, was found to be ineffective, according to the study of the study of the studies, reports ABC News. The Defense Department, quote, partially concurs with the latest study findings and has yet to determine if they will commission a study of the study of the study of the studies.
All right. One of these is a real government inquiry. Is it? From Charlie Pierce, a scholarly investigation from the Smithsonian of Who Put the Bomb in the Bomb-de-Bomb-Bomb. From Brian Babylon, a pilot study to see if video game warriors can become real ones. Or from Roxanne Roberts, a study of a study of studies from the government.
Well, being a child of the 60s, the bump, the bump, and the bump, the bump, bump is my choice because I hope that's the one answer.
You hope that's what you're going to choose, Charlie's story of the
I
search.
I am.
All right, that's your choice. You pick Charlie's story. Well, we actually have somebody discussing the study on TV.
Well, he said, I don't think we're getting our money's worth, and I don't think we're studying the things we should be studying, so let's have a study to see how we can get better studies or figure out how to get rid of the studies we're doing.
That was the American Spectator's pundit John Fund talking to Fox News about the GAO's study of the study of studies. I'm sorry, Jeff, but Roxanne Roberts obviously had the real answer. Too real, but still frightening, I think.
Very good.
I'm sorry to remember, but you did earn a point for Charlie for his excellent story, and perhaps someday, now you have your free time as a retiree, you can find out who put the bomb in the bomb, the bomb, the bomb.
I'm looking right now.
All right, thank you so much. I wanna go study. Baby, would you be my buddy? And help me with my project. Cause you are who I roll with. And now the game where we ask people who have done great things on to do something silly. There are good bands, there are great bands, and then there is the most amazingly fantastic band ever in the history of bands. And that would be Tenacious D. Also known as actor and musicians Kyle Gass and Jack Black, their new album is Rise of the Phoenix. Kyle and Jack, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you. So I know that your band is the greatest ever because your songs tell me so. But for those people who don't know Tenacious D, could you guys sort of tell us what your music is all about?
Well, it's been said that we're a combination of Black Sabbath and who's the other band, Cage? We're horrible at describing ourselves.
Apparently. I would say like Black Sabbath and Simon and Garfunkel.
Thank you.
If you could imagine that.
Yeah, we revel in the 1970s and 80s rock when Satan was real.
Exactly. He has since retired.
He sold out.
Yeah. Could you guys, because, you know, we hear sometimes from heavy metal bands who're like, oh, no, we're not really Satanists. You know, but you guys really are, pretty much.
yeah.
Yeah. So how did, I'm interested, you guys met back in the 80s when you were both in the Actors Gang, right? Tim Robbins group out in L.A.
It's true.
And you started playing music together as part of that?
Well, Kyle was sort of the official de facto musician of the theater company at the time. And I tried to hold on to Kyle's coattails, but he kept on kicking me off. I was like a little dog humping his leg.
Yeah.
And then finally he let me in. I melted his icy shield. And we spent years just in his apartment jamming stonily along, searching for our sound. And finally, we worked up the courage to go play a little dive bar in downtown Los Angeles, and we only had one song, and it was the greatest song in the world, Tribute.
Tribute is a great song.
Yeah, and thus was born.
And thus was born Tenacious D.
So, hey, Jack, sometimes when you sing songs and you're able to, like, not say words, but, like, say noises, like, zip-a-doo-doo, ba-doo-ba-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh.
How do you do that, man? That's amazing.
The scat?
The scats, man. Those scats
are... come from?
That's a lot of power to scats. Man.
Well, you know, I'm heavily influenced by Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, sure. You can hear that.
I would watch in the back of the audience and in wonder, because he satisfied a certain thing in me. I wanted to be a one-man show. I wasn't able to do it. That's why me and Kyle had to join forces. But if I could, I would be reincarnated as Bobby McFerrin Jr.
Lyrics are kind of overrated anyway, aren't they?
For most, yeah. If you listen to the greatest rock band of all time, Led Zeppelin,
yes,
the lyrics are mostly gobbledygook.
God. You mean there's no bustle in my hedgerow?
Yeah.
I got alarmed for nothing.
Does anyone remember laughter?
Yeah, go on.
We place a high premium on our lyrics because the comedy is the source of our power. So
they are very, very funny.
Yeah,
they're hilariously funny and extraordinarily profane. In fact, we noticed that there's an explicit version of the new record and a clean version. We're guessing the clean version is 2 minutes long.
No.
No, really?
We took great pains to replace all the cuss words with creative, funny alternatives that were clean enough for the kids.
Can you give me an example of
the religious people?
Yeah. Can you give me an example of like your favorite fake cuss word you had to put in to keep the rhythm right?
It's hard to remember. I never listened to the clean one.
Let me try it. Well, we have this one called Death Star, and it goes, the world is freaking turning to poop. Okay, that was not a good example of creativity.
I know. Got the point across, though.
There's some better ones in there, I'm sure.
I know.
There's got to be.
You guys are, the songs are extremely funny, and as well as your dialogue between some of the songs. Is by the way, the strange homoerotic tension between you guys, is that sort of authentic to your experience?
All right, we're coming out right now.
All right. I wanted to ask you guys, are also, Kyle, you're a great guitarist, Jack, you're an amazing singer, as we've said, and the songs are very funny. Do you guys ever just want to do straight ahead rock and roll of your own creation?
Well, we tried some at first, but it was a little uncomfortable, I think.
No one wants to hear those songs.
Really? When you guys were sincere, nobody was interested?
Well, here's one of them. I wrote about a breakup. At one time I could advise, but now I'm lost in my own pain.
All right, I see your point.
It captured me, and now I feel the rain.
Yeah. Comedy.
Yeah,
stick with comedy.
It's tough out there.
It is hard, I guess. One thing that people might know, if they've been paying attention, Jack, is that you've been doing some movies to some success.
True.
And there's a song on the new record called The Ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage.
Yes.
And that describes these two very good friends who are musicians, one named Jack and one named Cage. And Jack gets really famous doing movies. And the other guy gets really upset about it.
Yeah.
Jealous.
For those that don't know, Kyle is the Rage Cage.
Really? Because I was going to ask, first, if that was autobiographical, and second, which one you were. So I guess my question is that based in truth?
Every word of it is true.
Really?
Every word, yeah. It was a very difficult song to write because of its painful truths, and we weren't going to do it. I mean, we had this title, Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage, brewing for years, and it doesn't sound funny, does it?
No. No, it's very sad, actually.
It was the elephant in the room, and it needed to be written.
Right. So you wrote the elephant. And how are you guys getting along now?
Oh, as long as there's a record deal, we'll always be friends.
Yeah, I understand.
I think I consider Kyle to be my best friend.
And I as well.
Well, Tenacious D, Jack and Kyle, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Tenacious D Meet Tenacious P.
So we tried to think of the singer who would be the diametrical opposite of Tenacious D, and who better to fill that role than Mr. Pat Boone? We'll ask you about the cleanest cut guy who ever cut a record. Get two out of three right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in the home answering machine. Carl, who is Tenacious D playing for?
Tenacious D is playing for Dick Fortin of Eaton Center, New Hampshire.
All right, ready to go, guys?
Yes.
And you are allowed?
You're up on your Pat Boone trivia, aren't you?
No, gosh, yes.
Okay, good.
All right. You are allowed to collaborate, bicker, break up, whatever you need to do to get through this. Here we go.
Okay.
Now, Pat was the master of all media, it seemed, during his heyday in the 50s and the 60s. He even appeared where? Was it A, on a metal record sent into space to greet aliens? B, as a character in the comic book Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane? Or C, he has a cameo as a traveling minstrel in Fellini's cinematic masterpiece, La Strada?
It's A.
It's A? He's on the record sent into space?
Yes.
Do you both agree on this question?
I'm going with Kyle because he's known as the Filofax. Was that on Voyager? I think I saw that on Star Trek.
So your choice is A, the record. I'm afraid it was actually B, the comic book. The record wasn't sent until much later.
Oh,
yeah. See, in the comic book, which came out in the late 50s, Superman must prevent Pat Boone from singing a song about him, which would reveal his secret identity. He does this by tearing Pat Boone in half with his hands. I'm kidding. He doesn't really. But you still have two more chances, guys, so here's your next question.
Okay.
Mr. Boone's media career was boosted by his clean-cut image, but sometimes his morals got in the way, as when what happened? A, on the set of his first film, he refused to kiss co-star Shirley Jones because she was married to somebody else. B, he refused to have Elvis Presley on his Pat Boone TV show because, quote, that man's hips makes me think of impure things. Or C, he gave up a lucrative endorsement contract with Canada Dry once he learned that people mix their sodas with alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a stumper. I'm 0-1, Jack. I don't know. You may have to take this one.
I hope that it's number two, because that's just really the funniest of the possibilities. Yes. I think it's number one, though.
You think it's number one? He refused to kiss Shirley Jones? And that is, in fact, what it was. Very good. Apparently, Mr. Boone was only willing to pretend to be romantically involved with single actresses.
Yeah.
All right, this is good. You're 1-1, 1-2 with one to go. If you get this, you'll win. Here we go. Mr. Boone had an important role in legal history. Was it A, he pioneered the right for a celebrity to control his image when he sued the makers of an adult film called Pat Boom? B, he was the first celebrity endorser sued by the FTC for making false claims about a product? Or C, accused by a fan of untoward advances, he got off with what is now known as the "Who are you kidding? I'm Pat Boone" defense.
It's clearly the second one.
He was the first celebrity endorser successfully sued by the Federal Trade Commission for making false claims about product.
Yeah, I like it.
With number two.
Yeah, let's put it.
And you're right, guys. That's what it was. He endorsed. He, in the 70s, endorsed an acne cream called Acne Statin. The FTC went after him. They said, no, it doesn't work. And he apologized and said he would not endorse it anymore. Carl, how did Jack and Kyle do in our show?
Jack and Kyle had 2 correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Dick Fortin. Congratulations, guys.
Tenacious D's new album is Rise of the Phoenix. It's out now. Jack and Kyle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
Take care.
This is the ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage. Nothing could stop him when Jables and Rage hit the stage. And Hollywood Jack hit the big time and went to make movies.
In just a minute, Carl takes a swig of his rhyme and coke in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, on the official White House website, you can look up bios of all the past U.S. presidents. But last week, somebody cruising the site noticed something odd about many of those bios. What?
Isn't President Obama somehow been inserted into almost all the bios?
Yes. Yes, indeed. President Obama shows up next to all of these bios, the official WhiteHouse.gov biographies of almost every president since Calvin Coolidge now have references to President Obama in them. You look up President Reagan, for example, and it says, Mr. Reagan called for a fairer tax code. Today, President Obama is calling for the same with the Buffett rule, unquote. Or, Mr. Carter had been a peanut farmer before taking the Oval Office. Today, President Obama is nothing at all like President Carter. Seriously. Stop it, guys.
Wait, this is for real?
This is for real. The members of Obama and everyone except Gerald Ford for some reason. Some of them maybe go a little bit too far. For example, John F. Kennedy was president from 1961 to 1963. Did you know President Obama once put on a tight white dress and sang happy birthday to him?
How did they work the president into, say, President Washington?
Well, they didn't mean something like the first president Washington. Yes. Like, as a young man, George Washington was approached by Barack Obama, who told him to tell his father about the cherry tree.
And then he hopped back into a DeLorean and
exactly.
drove off. Wow, that is banana town.
Did you know? It is, it's crazy. Did you know President Taft once ate President Obama? Brian, optometrists have identified a new threat to our eyesight. It typically strikes young people and can leave them with a lazy eye. What is it?
Does it have to do with games they play?
No.
Okay. All right, give me the hint then.
Well, it also causes you to sing Baby, Baby, Baby.
Whose song is Baby, 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 Baby?
Justin Bieber.
Okay,
Justin
now,
Bieber.
Now, picture him.
Beautiful young man.
Okay. come back to us, Brian. Don't get lost.
I know.
Don't get lost in a Bieber reverie,
okay.
Man.
Come back to the pack, my
all right,
friend.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Now.
Oh, bangs?
Yeah, basically, Justin Bieber hair is the answer. So this is how it works. You know how Justin Bieber's got that sort of side bang on his hair, right?
Yeah.
It's a little human up here, Peter. Wait a minute.
Kids are getting that, and the problem is that it makes you look adorable. We all know that.
Yeah.
But according to at least some optometrists, those side bangs might be giving kids a lazy eye.
Because you're like, oh, man, I don't even care.
No, yeah, well... yeah.
Okay,
well,
got it.
The point is like, with your hair covering up one eye... You only use the other eye, one eye, to glare moodily at your parents, right? So over time, the obscured eye just goes dormant and doesn't recover.
Hey,
so,
how about this, Pete? Everyone buy stock in monocles. Monocles
that's
are
true.
Gonna make a comeback.
Yep. What that could happen. What it really means, though, if this is true, if this optometrist who come up with this is right, that like 50 years from now, every senior citizen will be squinting at each other's backside saying, I can't make out your tramp stamp because of my Bieber eye.
Wow, Bieber eye.
Bieber eye, baby. Bieber eye. Brian, it's finals time. And to help students cope with the high stress, more and more colleges and grad schools allow students to check out what from the library?
Okay. All right, give me the half of a hint.
The problem is they may cause you more stress if they eat your homework.
Oh, puppies?
Yes, puppies. Yes. Yes.
Let me just say something, man.
Please, Brian.
Now, don't be cynical.
I know.
It's
no,
like
no,
so
no.
Cute.
No. Honestly, one thing, I always look forward to Super Bowl Sunday for the Puppy Bowl. Like that. I know. And you guys better not tweet that. I have a street cred problem. I'm trying to.
Dude, you have a crush on Justin Bieber.
I
know.
Yeah,
I think him.
Because he looks like a puppy, man, with a bang.
Both Harvard Medical School and Yale Law School have dogs available for checkout from their library. This is true. Experts cite studies show interacting with pets decreases stress, and also a number of studies indicate that puppies are adorable. The idea of this is great, but the students are doing what students do. They're taking the puppies out of the library. They're going home. They're forgetting about them. And then, like, the night before they have to give the puppies back, they're like, oh, my God, I got to stay up all night and play with a puppy. Pull a puppy all-nighter.
These are temporary checkouts. They come and they just come and they come in like a bushel of adorableness, and then it's kisses, 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 and then you have to go back and take your test.
It's like my parents' divorce all over again.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart really feels, and why I love her so.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, Call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can find out there about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Cleveland, Ohio on June 28th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tammy Kopecky from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Not too bad. And yourself?
I'm just fine. What do you do there in beautiful Cedar Rapids?
I am a channel marketer for a small company here in town that does hoses and belts.
Oh, that's so you're hosing and belting.
Yes. Then we just watch the corn grow.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Tammy. Carl Castle is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
Taking snapshots is old, so what's next? Modern camera tech isn't vexed. It gives 1,000 words for an image that's blurred. My new camera prints out a...
A text, yes, very good. This inventor is very interesting. An inventor at NYU has developed a new kind of camera that instead of taking photos, it prints out a text description of what you're looking at. So instead of a picture of a sunset, you get a little text that says, beautiful sunset with trees in foreground. That's what it does. After a while, of course, the camera gets tired of your choice of subjects and is like, dude, your daughter is getting bigger every day, but she's not getting any cuter, okay? Here is your next limerick.
I once worried that wrinkles grow cranky or that eyelids get puffy and baggy. Now my handheld device shows my jowls aren't nice. Looking down makes my chin and cheeks...
Saggy?
Yes, saggy. Very good. Yes. It is called smartphone face, and all of you have it. Apparently the problem is if you stare at your phone too much, looking down at it, and then you pick your head up again... but your chins don't come with you. And so it's caused these, you know, what they're calling smartphone face, and it's apparently led to an uptick in the amount of plastic surgery for this sort of thing. But the problem is we're never going to agree, even with this news, to stop staring down at our phones. So instead, we're all going to make a choice to find this attractive. Oh, I love his broad shoulders, his dark eyes, his jowls dragging on the carpet.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I was really having, like, self-conscious problems, like, taking cell phone pictures of myself.
Right.
I was like, God, hey, this guy's ugly.
Do you really take pictures of yourself on your cell phone?
It's my mom. She's like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, all right, come over here. And then I look at my face like, ugh.
Wait a minute.
That?
Your mother says, what you doing?
She got a new iPhone and she, ugh.
So you're like, another,
yeah.
So instead of saying, oh, nothing, like every other
No, she's
male.
Always like, let me see.
Really?
Yes. That's her new thing. Let me see.
So you
what
take
do you
a
do?
Picture, but you take a picture of yourself?
I'm like, hey, I'm over here. Click. Like, I'm with Roxanne. And then it will be, oh, that's so nice.
How many?
Oh.
Well, what if she calls and asks you for this picture while you're doing something that I'm sure is perfectly legal, but that you don't want your mother to know that you're doing? What do you do then?
I have a whole bunch of stock photos ready to roll. Like church, like, coffee house.
Yeah. Oh, look, here I am kissing a nurse in Times Square on VE Day. There you are.
Yep. Yep. At the beach, at church.
That's right, up the street.
At the soup kitchen, helping out.
Yeah. Here I am tutoring orphans.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Here we go. Here is your last limerick.
To all sorts of odd dares, I'll submit in my desperate plea to look fit. I'll be an imbiber of lizard saliva. To get thin, I take pills made from...
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Can you say it again?
Sure. To all sorts of odd dares, I'll submit in my desperate plea to look fit. I'll be an imbiber of lizard saliva. To get thin, I take pills made from...
Saliva is a clue.
Spit,
yes, very good. You got it. Researchers say the spit of a Gila monster, you know, those big lizards, contains a compound that can cut hunger pangs in animals. So the spit is going to be made into a weight loss pill, although it will only work if you get to watch the Gila monster spit the pill into your food. You're like, I don't think so. Carl, how did Tammy do on our quiz?
Well, Tammy had three correct answers, Peter. So, Tammy, I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Tammy.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I can't wait.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place Peter. Charlie Pierce and Roxanne Roberts both have 3 points. And Brian Babylon has 2.
Brian, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Because of his stance on same-sex marriage, Newsweek called President Obama the first blank.
Gay
president? Yeah, citing evidence errors. A judge postponed Ratko Mladic's war crimes trial at blank.
The Hague?
Yes. Although he said he was not suspending his presidential bid, this week blank announced he would no longer campaign.
Ron Paul?
Right. Best known for songs like Last Dance, Disco Queen blank died at age 63.
Donna Summer?
Yes. Apple has fixed a glitch that caused iPhone assistant Siri to say blank when asked to name the best smartphone.
Android?
No, the Nokia Lumia 900. Google announced that it has revamped its search engine to make it search more like a blank would.
Person.
Yes. A burglar in Utah made a clean getaway but was easily caught after police discovered he left blank at the crime scene.
His wallet?
No, his homework. It was a tough case to crack. Police experts were forced to carefully unzip the backpack the high school thief had accidentally left behind and read the name and the homework inside. The kid was quickly arrested, but not before begging police for a note for his teacher explaining that his homework had been taken into custody. Carl, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Brian has taken the lead.
Well done. All right. All right, we have flipped a coin. Roxanne's elected to go last, so Charlie, you're up next. Because of fears that the country will not stay with the euro, people in the country of blank withdrew hundreds of millions from their banks.
Greece.
Right. This week, the defense rested without Mistress Riel Hunter or defendant blank taking the stand.
John Edwards.
Right. According to a new census report, more than half of the children born in the U.S. last year were blank.
Minority.
Right. Children. Officials, I guess not anymore, officials at a Swedish prison have warned a prisoner to immediately stop what they describe as intentional blank.
Intentional pan fluting.
Fart attacks. This week, the Social Security Administration revealed that Jacob and Sophia were the most popular blanks in 2011.
The names.
Baby names. An interview in GQ, 18-year-old pop star blank said, quote, I've had a beer like before.
Justin Bieber.
Yes. 2 men who robbed an internet cafe in Colombia were caught because they forgot to blank.
Log off.
Yes, log out of Facebook. The two thieves decided to check their Facebook pages before robbing the cafe. When police discovered that one of the thieves had forgotten to log out, the gig was up. They quickly arrested him, but not until they changed his status to going to jail now. LOL. Carl, how did Charlie do on our quiz?
Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Charlie has taken the lead.
All right. I'm going to ask the question that I know Roxanne is eager to ask. How many does she need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Here we go, Roxanne. This is for the game. This week, House Speaker John Boehner said he would not allow an increase in the blank without an equal number of spending cuts.
The deficit debt.
It's the debt ceiling is what we're looking for.
No.
It's not just the deficit. In a ceremony on Tuesday, blank was sworn in as the new president of France.
Hollande.
Francois Hollande, yes. Former News of the World editor Rebecca Brooks was charged this week in connection with the blank scandal in Britain.
The phone hacking.
Right. A new study released this week shows that people who drink blank may live a little longer than people who don't.
Coffee.
Ha ha, yes. Researchers at a lake in Germany are blaming the death of hundreds of fish on blank.
Is this the statue that fell in?
No.
Okay.
It's the peeing swimmers.
Oh,
11
okay.
million viewers tuned in last Sunday to see the finale of the primetime soap blank.
Desperate Housewives.
Yes, Chris Matthews, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Anderson Cooper were among the players in the game show's Blank's Power Player series.
Jeopardy.
Right. Walmart made news this week when a customer at a Washington State Lawn and Garden Center was blanked.
Mulched.
Bitten by a rattlesnake.
Oh!
It's just the latest in a string of incidents involving snakes ambushing Walmart shoppers. This week, a rattlesnake masquerading as a stick took down a Washington man who bent to pick it up there in their garden center. All across America, hardworking local snakes are upset that the big box snakes are coming in and taking away their biting business. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
Well, Roxanne needed at least 6 to tie, but Rox had just 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Charlie Pierce is this week's champion.
Congratulations. And I know, how long do you think it'll take you, Roxanne, to get over the whole deficit debt ceiling thing? I'm guessing never. When we meet in the old quiz show home, you'll be like, you know, it's the same thing, Peter. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists what we will learn happened to that missing $3 billion from JPMorgan Chase. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman. Benevolent Overlord, Philip Godica, writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our intern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Larchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will it turn out happened to the $3 billion? Brian Babylon.
The Marines used the money to create a secret army of Carl Castle clone super soldiers.
There you go. I'll buy that. Roxanne Roberts.
The London whale may have disappeared, but a certain Mr. John Smith just bought 3 billion shares of Facebook.
And Charlie Pierce.
Well, Peter, in JPMorgan Chase World Headquarters, there's this really, really big couch. And if you look between the cushions, there you are.
If any of that is what happened to the money panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks, us, and Charlie Pierce. Roxanne Roberts. Brian Babylon. Thanks, all of you, for listening. And Peter Sagal, we'll see you right back here next week. This is NPR.